All right, you may be seated. Go ahead and sit down. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, it's a joy to be here. It's an honor. It's an honor to be here. All right. Amen. Well, you've got the fire, so let's see if you can listen as well as you can scream, right? Brother Young is, Dr. Young is so kind, and those words mean a lot to myself, my wife. Appreciate Pastor Wilkerson giving us this opportunity, and Dr. Young. And appreciate all of the staff, just seeing many of you, and I don't want to start naming names, but my heart is so full just seeing your faithfulness and what you invested in us while we were here, and now coming back, seeing that you're continuing to faithfully invest in the next generation, and it's a calling. And I know some people look at me and say, man, how could you go live in the jungles of Africa and fight off mosquitoes? And I think, for some of these college staff, man, how could you be here with all of these students? I'm just kidding. But it's such a joy and an honor to be here. We appreciate so much this place and all that we learned while we were here and meeting my wife, and I'll share a little bit about that in my message. But just all that God has done before we came, while we were here, and what he's continuing to do. And you're in the right place. You're in a wonderful place where God can use you, and God can use you now while you're serving him and being trained, and then to be used then when you go out and serve the Lord all over this country. I appreciate the song, Boy, What a Testimony. That's amazing. All of y'all have been to Tanzania, and thank you so much for preparing that. That was a blessing. I feel more comfortable preaching in Swahili. Of course, there in Tanzania, that's all I preach, all the services, and when I'm out preaching, it's all in Swahili. And so coming back to the United States and preaching in English can be a challenge sometime. So just to give you a little bit of a taste of what that would sound like, and to break the ice for me, I'm going to preach in Swahili, all right? So naomba tusikilize kwa makini. Naomba tuwe tayari kusikiliza neno, maana neno linatuhubiria ya kwamba ni neno pekee. All right, amen, thank you. That's good. Now, I'm not speaking in tongues. That is Swahili. And so come visit us. We have the FBMI and is putting together a trip next year. And so if you've ever wanted to visit Africa or visit a mission field, we'd love to have you. October 20th, 1968, the Olympics in Mexico City. There's an amazing story that unveiled. The story is of a man by the name of John Stephen Aquare. And this man was a marathon runner. And he had done very well in the continent of Africa and running marathons there in Tanzania and then around the world. And he was chosen to go to the Olympics there in Mexico City in 1968. And so he went, and Mr. Aquare, his story is not amazing because he won that year. In fact, he's considered the greatest last place finish of all time. Mr. Aquare went, he started the race, he was in the front runners of those who were running in that race, and about halfway through the race, there was some jostling and some pushing, some elbowing, and Mr. Aquare fell to the tarmac and was bruised, was bloodied. Right at the same time, he was having some muscle cramps, and I believe he either tore his shoulder or his knee, and so the medics ran up there and bandaged his wounds and helped him to his feet and said, "We're so sorry, Mr. Aquare. You can get in the vehicle. You can. We'll take you back to the finish line." He pushed them off. He said, no. He got up and he started hobbling towards the finish line, a little bit of jogging, a little bit of walking, a little bit of hobbling. And he came into the massive stadium there. The ceremonies had already been finished. And he came into the stadium there and hobbled across the finish line. And when asked later, "Mr. Aquare, why would you do that? You went, you represented your country well, you tried. You really, there were, I don't remember how many it was that didn't even finish the race. Why would you do that? And this is what he said. He said, my country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come before you. We thank you so much for the opportunity to be in chapel this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit. I pray that I would encourage these young people and everybody that's here today. I pray that you would just allow me to preach with freedom. And Lord, that your Holy Spirit would work among us, speak to hearts. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. My desire today is to put a fire in your heart, whether you're a young man or young lady. I was talking to Dr. Young and asking him about chapel, and he said, Dr. Hiles told me, he said, the reason we'll have chapel, or what I want chapel to be, is to put a fire in young men's hearts, a fire to serve the Lord. I was talking to my son David, he's here on the fourth row, and I said, you know, we really haven't talked a whole lot about different colleges and different things. He's 11 years old, and I said, David, if you were, I was actually talking to David and my nephew, Joseph Larry Brown, Pastor Joseph Brown, my brother-in-law, his son was with me, and David, and we were driving in the car. I said, if you were to go to a college, a Bible college today, where do you think you would go? And I was kind of interested to hear. We hadn't, as I said, really discussed it. And David started waxing eloquent, and he said, well, you've got this Bible college, and they're strong in this area, and you've got this Bible college. And he said, but if you really want to get a fire for God, it would be Hiles Anderson College. And of course, a proud moment as a father, and I said, well, that's a good choice. I said, let's pray about it. And but that's my desire this morning. Put a fire in your heart to finish. To finish. And this morning, the title of my message is Enemies of the Finish. And many young people come through this college, come to this college. There are many thousands that have finished and are serving the Lord all across this nation and all across this world. There are those who came and didn't finish, but God is using them in a tremendous way. Now, understand, I'm not saying that if you don't finish Bible college, you can't be used of God. I'm not saying that at all, but I want to encourage you to finish what you came to start. Maybe you're a freshman, maybe you're a junior, maybe you're a senior, and I want to encourage you to finish this stage of life so that you can move on to the next stage of what God has for you. You're serving the Lord right now. You're learning, you're growing. Finish what you came to start. I don't know too many college students that come and say, you know what, I'm going to go for 2.5 years, and then I'm going to stop and I'm going to go home. Most would say, I'm planning on going to Bible college. Now, I know there are some that maybe say, I'll just go a year, and I'll finish that and then see what the Lord has, or I'm going to go for a two-year degree. But whatever it is, I want to encourage you to finish. You came, you finish, and continue serving the Lord. There's several different, I would like to call them enemies of the finish. You know, Mr. Aquadre stumbled. He was hurting, he was injured, he was in pain, but he got up and he kept on going and he finished the course. Maybe you don't, you say, man, I got a little bit of financial struggles, or man, I got a little discouraged, or this teacher didn't respond to me how I thought they should, or maybe my friend, or on the bus route, or they preached a whole message about me. I don't know what it is, but I want to encourage you, get up. All right, get up and finish. God didn't send you however many thousands of miles to Hiles Anderson College to quit, right? God put you in this place so that you could learn, so that you could finish. And by God's grace, that's my goal today too. Each step and each phase of ministry, wherever God has me, and God has placed me there in Tanzania, and Lord willing, I will die there in Tanzania. Now, again, God could change that. God could move us anywhere. But my goal is to finish each step of the way, the course, the race that's set before me. Mr. Aquadre could have given excuses. He could have said, I tried. I came all this way. It's an honor to be in the Olympics. But he got up and he continued. He finished. several different things that I'd like to share with you this morning. Number one, enemies of the finish. Number one, poor financial decisions. So you're here in Bible college, and obviously all of these points and different thoughts that we'll look at this morning, these could apply to any area of ministry. These could apply to any Christian. But specifically, as I prepared this message, I was thinking of college students. I was thinking of you all and praying for you all and asking the Lord to give me something that would benefit you right here in Bible college. And so number one, poor financial decisions. We'll look, as we look at these points, we'll look at several Proverbs throughout Proverbs that I believe we can learn from. So Proverbs chapter 21, you have your Bibles there. And each one of these points, we will look at a Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. The Bible says, "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want." Are you diligent with your finances here in Bible college? I remember being here, and there would be students who maybe they had a cell phone, and they had, and nowadays with data and all of that, and they've got a truck, and they spend their money, and then a couple months down the road, "I just don't have the money to finish Bible college." We have the finances for what we'd like to have the finances for. Is there still a Liberty Square here? Is that what it's called? Liberty Square, eating cheeseburgers and spending your money when you need to be finishing, right? You maybe it's spending money on a young lady, or spending money on a boy or a man. Poor decisions with your finances. Number one, make sure you're tithing. That should be the number one thing. If you're in Bible college and you're making money, you need to be tithing. That should be the first thing. Be faithful to tithing. And then giving to missions. I remember as a Bible college student, not having much. I know exactly where you're at, but then giving to missions. Being faithful to tithing and to giving to missions. And then using that money wisely. Boy, you can get behind, and there are times that maybe you get behind or whatever, but don't use finances as an excuse. Ask the Lord, "Lord, open the doors. I want to finish. Lord, help me. Help me to be able to finish, and Lord, help me to be able to move forward, move past the finances, that they wouldn't be my downfall, that this would not be an enemy to my finish that would cause me to fail." Poor financial decisions. Number two, loss of balance. Proverbs chapter 16, you're right there in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." Commit your works. Everything that you do, commit it to the Lord, and be balanced in all that you do. Your thoughts shall be established. Too often, Bible college students can get unbalanced in a certain area. You're trying to balance your walk with the Lord, right? You're trying to balance your academics. You're trying to balance your ministry. Maybe you're trying to balance some athletics, some games. I heard there's a game this afternoon. You're trying to balance dating. You're trying to balance all of these things, your finances, and you're trying to balance it all. And if you become unbalanced in an area, you can fail. I remember in a night bus sermon, Dr. Sparks shared a challenge, and I remember it to this day, on balance and being balanced. And we're trying to juggle all of these things in our Bible college life, and we can become overbalanced in some areas. You need to take care of your walk with the Lord. Maybe you're studying for a test. "I don't have time to read my Bible. I've got right after classes, I'm running off to work, and then I spend a few minutes with my girlfriend or my boyfriend, and then I got to run, get changed, and play soccer, and I just don't have time to walk with the Lord." You're going to fail. It's an enemy. You got to balance. You got to put importance where it needs to be. Reading your Bible, walking with the Lord, and then taking care of your ministry, serving the Lord in your ministry. academics, your work, being faithful to your workplace and giving your efforts there. There would be those who would maybe be all about work. And man, they were making the money, but they were failing their classes. Maybe there'd be those who are all about dating. Yeah, finding a wife is a good thing. We'll get there. But they'd be all about that and forget about their classes or forget about their walk with the Lord. I want to encourage you, if you want to finish, you're going to need to make sure that you get some balance in your life. Being balanced. Loss of balance will cause you to fail. Number three, poor choices in dating relationships. Poor choices in dating relationships. Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. I'm so thankful that God allowed me to meet my wife here. And it's a wonderful place to find your spouse. Going back to our second point, having balance. And then making the right decisions in that. How sad it is that when young people make poor choices in their dating relationship and either get kicked out or either have baggage or just carrying extra burden because they're not making the right choices in their dating relationships. Date wisely. Get some godly counsel. Pray about it. Talk to your parents. Talk to a pastor or Pastor Wilkerson, a teacher. Get some wisdom about that and take your time. It always cracked me up. I would see couples meeting up in the sign-up line for the freshman sign-up. And oh my, I think I found my wife. You got four long years if you want to finish, right? And so seeking the Lord's wisdom about that, getting some wisdom about that. Would you agree that maybe somebody older than you might have some wisdom about dating? Would you agree to that? And so not allowing the wonderful opportunity to date and to pray and seek somebody that is like-minded, don't let that be a stumbling block to your finish. Poor choices in dating relationships. Dating isn't a light thing. And I'm thankful my wife didn't take it lightly either. Her dad didn't take it lightly either. I remember I had a 3x5 card the first time I called him. I had written down everything that I wanted to say. And I was out here right outside these doors of Malone. And I called him. And my stomach was in my throat. And if you know Dr. Larry Brown, you know he could, you know how that might have gone. And so thankfully the Lord allowed us to continue dating. And when we continued, our relationship continued to grow. And her father, before we got engaged, before we said I love you, got real, real serious. He talked to Rachel. He said, if you feel like God is wanting you to continue in this relationship, then you're going to need to go see Tanzania. And I don't want to send you all the way, get married and send you to Africa, and then you bring a missionary off the field. And I want you to know what you're getting into. You're dating a missionary. And of course, when I was 17, I had surrendered to go back to Tanzania and came to Bible college. And so when I came here, I already knew that's where I was going. And so he said, I want you to visit Tanzania. And so she did. Over the summer, she visited Tanzania. She visited my family, saw the work there, and prayed about it. And when she came back, she broke up with me and said, I can't do Africa. And, of course, I was heartbroken. I was here at the college over the summer working and just praying about it. And, Lord, I sure love her and I feel like she's the one, but, Lord, I'll give that to you. And as you know, the story goes, she came crawling back to me, and amen. The Lord brought her back. The Lord brought her back. I'll pay for that one later. The Lord brought her back, and we got married, and the Lord took care of Africa for her. But taking dating seriously. I remember often thinking in Bible college, Some of these girls that maybe I'll date, or some of these girls that are on my bus route, I need to respect, and I'm going to be in their churches one day as a missionary. And I don't want to not be able to go to a certain church because I was stupid in college. Right? Oh no, I can't go to that one. I dated her, and she's now the pastor's wife. I can't go there. Poor choices in dating relationships. Don't allow that to be an enemy of your finish. Number four, no emphasis on spiritual matters. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I hope you wouldn't come to Bible college and be a fool, as the Bible says. They despise wisdom and instruction. Talking in class or chapel or sleeping, and not despising it. Despising the wisdom. And I know we have fun, and I had fun in Bible college, but there needs to be a seriousness. There needs to be an emphasis on spiritual matters, an emphasis on your Bible reading, an emphasis on serving the Lord, not being flippant in your ministry. And you have the awesome opportunity to serve the Lord while you're learning how to best serve the Lord. And so putting an emphasis on that. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul put an emphasis on ministering. And that was his race. And the race that is set before you, the course that is set before you, is to finish. Finish. You came to Bible college not to quit. You came here to finish. Number five, no direction in life. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Why do young people in Bible college quit? They don't have any direction. They don't know where they're going. And not to say that you have to be as I was. I'm going to Tanzania, but get some direction. Well, I don't know how God will use me, but I'm going to go to the mission. I'm heading towards the mission field. I don't know how God will use me, but I believe it's going to be pastoring. And God can open those doors. But those who come here and say, I'm really just here to have fun and date. I don't know what else. I'm here just because my parents made me. Now, dating and coming because your parents suggested it, obeying your parents, those are good things. But you're not going to stick around if you don't get some direction. And I remember asking fellow students, hey, so what do you think God wants you to do? I have no idea. Not that everybody has to have exactly lined out what God is going to do in their future, but get some direction. And when you have a target, when you have a goal and you move forward towards that, God can change you at any time. He can open a door and close another. But get a direction. And maybe you say, I don't know what that direction is. Why don't you surrender to something? Why don't you say, Lord, I'll be a pastor if you'd have me be a pastor. Lord, I'll be a missionary if you'd have me be a missionary. Lord, I'll be a missionary's wife if that's what you'd like. Lord, I'm going to head towards a direction. I'm surrendered. Yesterday at City Baptist, I preached on surrender. I'm so burdened about young people being surrendered to whatever it is that whatever God would have them, whatever his will is for their life. Are you surrendered this morning? I want to finish quickly with a story. I heard the story. Actually, my father-in-law told me this story. It was from a friend of his, an evangelist, Jerry Whitehart. He was in the church where this happened. There was a couple, their family, they were in a church, and there was a missionary that was coming through, and the missionary preached on surrendering and serving the Lord. And so this man felt the calling of God to be a missionary. And he said, I know God wants me to serve him on the mission field. And so he came forward and surrendered. And on their way home from church that evening, he leaned over to his wife and he said, honey, I believe the Lord's calling me to the mission field. And this is what she said. She said, if you think that you're going to take me and my kids down the Amazon jungle, Amazon river, eating monkey meat, you've got another thing coming. And she said, I'm not doing it. With no way. And so they stayed, and this gentleman had started a business of flipping homes. And this is a true story. He was flipping homes, and so he was wiring one day. He was wiring some wires, and there was a small crawl space he couldn't quite get to. So he called his a son over, a little boy. He said, hey, buddy, I want you to crawl up underneath, and I'm going to fish this wire through to you. If you could pull that down through, and that'll help me. And so his little boy shimmied up underneath, and the dad went upstairs or up into the house. And while he was doing that, he heard some screaming. And he went running out, and come to find out his little boy had crawled right into a rattlesnake nest, baby rattlesnakes, and had those baby rattlesnakes had bitten him multiple times. And so they scooped their little boy up and put him in the car, looking around for their second son. They couldn't find him. And they said, we'll come back. We'll send somebody back. We have to rush him to the hospital, try to save his life. They threw it in reverse, and they ran over their second son. They scooped him up, put him in the back of the vehicle, and rushed off to the hospital. When they arrived, they immediately began trying to save this little boy's life. The one that had been bitten by the snake, the second one had already passed away. And they took him in the emergency room, worked on him. After some time, they came out and said, I'm sorry, we tried our best. His body was just too small. There was so much venom, and he passed away as well. And right at that moment, witnesses say that wife, her eyes rolled up in the back of her head, and she fell over dead. I'd venture to say they were safer up the Amazon in the will of God than right there where they were at, out of the will of God. And I tell you that story not to say, oh, Brother Wyatt, you're just trying to scare us to be missionaries. No, I want you to be in the center of God's will. I want you to do exactly what God would have you to do. If it's right here at Hiles Anderson and you become a teacher, if it's pastoring a church across this nation, if it's to be a missionary and you're pushing out against that, I hope you'd surrender. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you'd stand, the piano will begin to play, and if the Lord has spoken to your heart, I hope you would respond. Are you here to quit? God didn't send you 5,000, 2,000, 3,000, 500 miles away to quit. Why don't you get some grit in your crawl and say, I'm going to finish. I remember when I came forward and surrendered as a 17-year-old boy, the pastor that was preaching, he said, of you who have surrendered to be missionaries, many of you will quit before you even start. He said, then of those who go on deputation, there'll be a whole crowd that will quit. And then even those who go to the mission field, there'll be a whole bunch of you that quit as well. He said, might as well just quit now. And I remember thinking, I said, by the grace of God, I am not going to quit. I hope you would be here to finish, and then I hope you'd be surrendered.